In the name of the one holy and living God who heals each of us. Amen. For obvious reasons, and possibly because of my profile picture on social media, I receive lots of advertisements for hair restoration products. Products that promise to fully restore the glorious afro I once had the follicle potential to sport in my early 20s. Talk about scarcity and abundance. I love it when the prophet Elisha, not Elijah, who had a full head of hair, but Elisha, my fellow bald brother in faith, makes it into the Revised Common Lectionary. Elisha inspires me to reject those shame-inducing hair restoration adverts and embrace my baldness. Because you may recall this passage of Holy Scripture in the second book of Kings. Elisha went up from there to Bethel, and while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, "Go away, bald head! Go away, bald head!" When Elisha turned around and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two she-bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. From there, Elisha went on to Mount Carmel and then returned to Samaria. I love Elisha. But setting Elisha and my rejection of society's shame-based, money-making, impossible full head of hair standards of beauty aside, we turn to today's story of Elisha and Naaman and of Jesus and the Samaritan leper. The healing of Naaman and the healing of the Samaritan leper made me realize how easily we forget the places, the people, and the practices that reveal God's healing work in us. We get so caught up in being wounded and in wounding others that we forget to return to the places, the people, and the practices that heal us. I think we can all agree that we are in desperate need of healing. So this sermon will explore how out-of-the-way places, unlikely people, and surprising spiritual practices reveal God's healing. As we heard, Naaman, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. The young captive servant girl says to Naaman's wife, "If only Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria," that's my guy, Elisha, "Elisha would cure him of his leprosy." Now, when we hear the word Samaria or Samaritan in Scripture, we must remember the historical cultural hatred that existed between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. And it is in Samaria, that hated place where Elisha lives, to which Naaman must go to be healed. And Naaman gets grumpy when Elisha tells him to go into the River Jordan to be healed. Naaman wants to go to the rivers in Damascus, the more respectable ones. And when he can't get his way, Naaman turns and goes away in a rage. But his servants convince Naaman to go into the Jordan. We read, "So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God," my guy, Elisha. "Naaman's flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was made clean." we sometimes have to go to out-of-the-way places. Places on the margins of so-called respectability. Liminal, in-between places that make us uncomfortable. Places where we have to go to let go of our ego, our self-importance, and our rage, in order to humbly immerse ourselves, sometimes seven times, in healing truth. In today's gospel, Jesus is in one of those liminal in-between places. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, where he encounters and heals 10 lepers, one of whom is a Samaritan. As we heard, then one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Again, we hear Samaritan and must remember the historical cultural hostility and hatred between Jews like Jesus and Samaritans like the grateful leper. But let's take a detour here to explore how those who are most different to us oftentimes show us God's healing presence. For his role as Andrew Beckett, Tom Hanks won the Academy Award for Best Actor in the 1993 film Philadelphia. The story of how a gay white lawyer living with HIV/AIDS and a straight black lawyer, played by Denzel Washington, heal one another and heal their colleagues, families, and community from the sickness of racism, homophobia, and serophobia, the fear of and aversion to those living with HIV/AIDS. My favorite scene in the film, unsurprisingly, involves opera. In a sublime speech, Tom Hanks' character describes his favorite aria, La Mamma Morta, from the opera Andrea Chenier, to Denzel Washington's character, who is not familiar with opera. For me, that scene is profoundly theological and beautifully describes the Christian doctrine of God's incarnation. As the recording of the inimitable voice of Maria Callas is playing in the background, Tom Hanks' character translates the meaning of the words and music being sung. As the aria moves into its climax, both men are in tears as Tom Hanks sobs through his English translation of the Italian words Maria Callas is singing. I invite you to close your eyes and listen to this with the ears of your hearts. You are not alone. I will collect your tears. I will walk with you and support you. Smile and hope. I am love.
Blood, I am alive.
people society has taught us to hate, the people society makes us fear, those people, lepers and Samaritans, despised and rejected foreigners, when we see ourselves in those people, God teaches us what healing really means. Healing is not a medical cure for an ailment. Healing is being made spiritually whole again by God's love. Love that restores us to right relationship with God. Love that restores us to right relationship with ourselves. Love that restores us to right relationship with our neighbors, especially those whom society has taught us to hate and to fear. Those unlikely people reveal God's healing presence in each and every person. Having explored God's healing presence in out-of-the-way places and in unlikely people who are very different to us, we now turn to healing spiritual practices. After God healed Naaman in the River Jordan, we read that Naaman returns to the man of God, my guy, Elisha. And Naaman and all his company come back to Elisha to acknowledge with praise and thanksgiving the one holy and living God who healed Naaman. When we read that Naaman says to Elisha, "Please accept a gift from your servant," we see that this practice of returning with a gesture of gratitude to give praise and thanks to God is also witnessed in the healed Samaritan leper in today's gospel. He turns back to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice. Moreover, the healed Samaritan prostrates himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. This would have been profoundly surprising in Jesus' day, as surprising perhaps as praising God with loud voices and prostrating ourselves, our souls and bodies before the real presence of Christ at St. John's this morning. Think about how surprising this practice we do every week really is as we sing today's fabulous hymns with loud voices and as we receive Holy Communion this morning. Brother David Steindl-Rast, a Benedictine teacher, says that surprise is the beginning of gratefulness. He writes that our heart longs for the surprise that a gift is truly a free gift. But our proud intellect balks at surprise, wants to explain it away. He continues, "When I admit that something is a gift, I admit my dependence on the giver. Gift giving is a celebration of the bond that unites giver and receiver. That bond of gratefulness, interdependence, joins us with others through the bond of a joyful give and take, a bond of belonging." Naaman and the Samaritan leper return to give praise and thanks to God, whose freely given gift of healing made them well. This practice of gratitude requires trust. This practice of turning back to give humble thanks requires a wholehearted vulnerability that is rare and surprising. Steindl-Rast also writes, "Thanksgiving is a gesture of the whole heart, or it is nothing. The child in us steps out, self-forgetful, spontaneous, with a gesture of gratefulness. Never are we more vulnerable than in those moments when we respond from the heart." I leave you with some questions to reflect upon. Is there an out-of-the-way place you go to that heals you. Where is that place? Is there an unlikely person or unlikely people who help you recognize God restoring you to your whole true self? Who is that person? Who are those people? Is there a spiritual practice that makes you turn back and let the child in you step out, self-forgetful, spontaneous, with a gesture of wholehearted gratefulness? What is that spiritual practice? Return to healing places, healing people, healing practices, and return with gratitude. Then, as Jesus says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen.